Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe here with you all at CPAC. Not exactly live, because this is airing 8 days after the fact. We are on whatever the Saturday after Good Friday is called. But we want to thank you all for tuning in nonetheless. We are a Main Street Radio Network production, so we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to continue. We are in our 13th year, going to make it to 14. And, of course, it's the 5th anniversary of when my name was finally attached to the show after guest hosting for a year or so. So I want to thank you all you listeners out there, and want to thank the Main Street Radio Network as well again. And you can show them some gratitude. Go to mainstreetradionetwork.com. Find out more about the Silk or Joe Show. And while you're there, look up the Alan Nathan Show. Check out our app and our podcast, mainstreetradionetwork.com. And also I'll throw out alannathan.com, where you can find articles, columns, op-eds written by the late, great Alan Nathan during the 21st century. I'm not sure if any of his 20th century work is up there, but there's a selection, alannathan.com, as well as podcasts for the show. We are on social media as well. Main Street Radio Network at Facebook, Main Street Radio on X, and Alan Nathan on X. You might want to check that one out just to see when I host the Alan Nathan Show. All right, and now I'm sitting here at CPAC Live with Joe Thomas. He had the booth right before me, so I thought it'd be nice and inquire about him coming on the program. Joe Thomas, appreciate you being here. How are you today?
Thank you very much for having us, Joe, and I appreciate it. Too many Joes all in one place. We overwhelm it, but he's being very kind. I just haven't finished cleaning up my stuff yet. That's why he's had me on. He's like, you're in the way. You're in the way. Get out. How has CPAC been for you?
Yeah, this has been a pretty good event so far. Even though Radio Row, it looks a little smaller than it does at the Gaylord in Maryland, but it seems like there's a lot more TV production here.
They made a conscious effort to move into the world. There's not as many celebrity politicos here this year as there has in years past, and they're focusing more on the folks who are like video content creators, like the fellow from Minneapolis who got all the Leering Center videos done. So they're really focusing on the people who are down at the grassroots level doing it, like yourself, getting up every day and saying what information needs to be out there. Because if you look at what's happened to the legacy media, it has really coughed up the ball. I mean, they had it all, and they overplayed it. I don't know if somebody paid them to it or they're just dumb as a bag of hair, but they overplayed it, and they fumbled the ball on the five-yard line, and the rest of the world said, we'll do TV. We'll get a YouTube channel. We'll get a podcast. We'll make our own network, just like Alan did. He said, we don't need your gatekeepers to do this.
Yeah, especially when, you miss stories as huge as what Nick Sorio pointed out, which had been known to some extent since 2014, but nobody was talking about it. Media didn't pick up on it. And you think of all people, Fox News maybe, or Newsmax even, or Breitbart, but just it went right under the radar.
I found it interesting, and I like a lot of what happens on Fox News. I get it. It's a corporation, and as such has its own issues. But I thought, I live for irony. And when Fox News raised arguments about Newsmax getting a place in the White House press pool, like, really? Has it been that long since you were the guy that nobody wanted to allow into the White House press? And I guess it's all cyclical after a while.
Yeah. You want to squelch the competition.
Yep.
And, that's actually... Dan the Ox Oxner, he'll be on the show later from KNSI. He's right over there in the next booth over. It looks like Ned Beatty. He is, he pointed out how the late Alan Nathan, one of the great things about him, wait, I said later on this show, he'll be on the Alan Nathan show, not this show later. I'm just in the schedule of things.
Yeah.
I was taping both shows back to back today. But anyway, he pointed out how the late Alan Nathan, he would be nice enough to have other people with competing shows on his show,
yep,
other hosts. I mean, he had Mark Levin on before I came on board as an intern. So yeah, he was always happy to give other people a voice on his program, mm-hmm, even if they were technically competitors.
Well, and we have to treat each other as intellects. I mean, that's the thing, is we see things different. We have different points of view. We come from different places. One of my favorite expressions on my show, I stole from my son, por qué no los dos? Why can't both be true? So when somebody says Trump said no new wars, but then he bombs Tehran, I said, why is that a new war? Huh? what, you know, because we get into this, it's a one or a zero. And we can't look at the area in between and say, is bombing Iran a new war or an attempt to end a really old one that nobody likes to talk about? Because what's happening with the Strait of Hormuz is exactly why no president before Trump had the guts to go after Iran. And when he says, and every time he says something in there, oh, he's lying. When he said a former president confided in him to that, number one, I will guarantee you it's Bill Clinton said that to him. Number two, I guarantee it actually happened because, you know, Donald Trump doesn't lie. He gets nothing out of lying. Everyone who says he lies are the people who want just that little percentage of his supporters to walk away. But, you know, he said, I want to end these wars. And Iran has been sending money into all these people to kill Marines, to kill civilians. And they may not have launched the missiles, but their proxies have.
Yeah, actually, if it were possible, if you actually heard the studio feed, I'd have a clip in the queue directly pertaining to that. It's Fox News' Kayleigh McEnany, and she's, who's also been on the Alan Nathan Show, may have been on the Silver Joe Show before it was called that, back in the 2020 campaign.
Uh-huh.
But she is talking about the trail of money. I probably played it on this show before, from the Obama administration, from the Biden White House, to Iran. And, of course, I add to it that right after Iran got $6 billion, suddenly October 7th happens because they are funding Hamas, among others.
Gee, I wonder where they got the money for all that. You know, and you bring up Hamas. One of the most brilliant things I've ever seen is, and I mean darkly brilliant, is how Hamas managed to get themselves rebranded as a marginalized community. I said, that is the biggest marketing coup. They must have gone to the biggest ad agency in Chicago, you know, and said, because they realized as soon as Democrats are in a corner, they say, we stand for marginalized communities. Aha, get yourself declared a marginalized community. Yep. And Democrats, even the Jewish ones, have to support you.
Right. Yeah, actually, we just had, was it yesterday? It was yesterday or the day before in Philadelphia. I don't know if you heard about it, but they had this whole march with a bunch of people coming into, and they're outside the City Hall of Philadelphia burning flags, and they're chanting, death to American soldiers, death to America, and Hamas and all the terrorists are heroes.
It's ugly, you know, and I'm for free speech, and if you have a point, but when you don't have a point and you're just trying to make street theater out of it, it bothers me because it's a waste of energy. It's a waste of intellect. So our show's based out of Charlottesville. You may have heard Charlottesville had some riots back a few years ago.
Yep.
I broadcasted my show live from the middle of those.
Oh, wow.
I was feeding it to my newsroom and live on the air as best as we could. And believe me, trying to broadcast with pepper spray in your face is not fun. But one of the things I pointed out to people after doing that is you have to go to these events to see the reality. So I talk to people when we talk about January 6th, I talk to people who are actually there, not somebody who's sitting there saying, well, I saw this on TV or I heard this. He said, tell me who was there. I talked to a guy who lost his license to run a food truck because he brought his food truck to Washington, D.C. to sell food to people at a big rally. But because his cell phone got pinged and he showed up on a list, the city of Richmond pulled his license and took away his ability to make a living. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you want to think. I watched the riots in Charlottesville. You know, we had mob scenes full of people. Young man made the cover of Roanoke Times. He and I are in a screaming match because he bumped into me as he was running after the Illinois Nazis. And I said, hey, dude, I'm sorry. And he's like, you're a racist. I'm thinking to myself, I said, you're saying I'm a racist simply because of the color of my skin. Do you get the irony in that?
Yeah. Right.
But I wasn't going to. And he was so caught up in the mob rule. I mean, it was such a master's class in what happens to mob rule. It's de-escalated. Hawk Newsom, the president of Black Lives Matter, interceded on my behalf because he knew me. He had been on my show. I run into the kid later after all the rioting had done before the car crash and everything else, but he's just walking across the downtown mall. He comes up to me. I'm sorry, sir. I really am. I'm not normally like that. kid was an engineering student at Columbia University. Mm-hmm. I said, son, go get that engineering degree, change the world. That's how you're going to change the world. Don't get caught up in knuckleheaded stuff like this. Mm-hmm. But that's what's happening with these, you know, No Kings protests and these marches with the screaming and the burning of the flags. Yeah. People have lost their ability to think individually.
Well, we've got 30 seconds left. So real quick, tell us where your show can be found.
Talk Media Network. We're flagged out of Stanton, Virginia on WTONradio.com.
All right. And it's the Joe Thomas Show.
It's First Thing Today by Joe Thomas.
Okay. All right, listeners. Well, you can all check that out, particularly if you're in that region of Virginia. And we have more Silk or Joe Show for you to check out coming up after this break. So stick with us.
Tax season is here and help is available. AARP Foundation's Miyoshi Moses shares how older adults, particularly those with low to moderate income, can access professional IRS-certified tax help absolutely free.
AARP Foundation Tax Aid is the largest free, volunteer-run tax assistance program in the country. With sites in every state, our goal is to ensure people receive the refunds they deserve without the cost or stress of paid tax preparation and with no hidden fees.
Tax rules change year after year. That's why Tax Aid volunteers are trained and IRS certified annually so they understand what's new and what it means for older adults.
Many taxpayers overpay or turn to services they can't afford. Once you turn 65, there are new benefits you may be eligible for, and having an expert look over your return can ensure you receive every tax break you've earned. The deadline to file is April 15th, so it's a great time to find a Tax Aid site near you.
For more, visit taxaid.aarpfoundation.org.
Spring is almost here, and whether it's a weeknight dinner or a weekend get-together, now's the perfect time to add fresh ideas to the menu. With more, here's Chef Jamie Gwen.
The best spring menus start with ingredients that feel comforting, adaptable, and right at home across meals and moments. Bush's baked beans are one of my favorite year-round go-tos. They've been loved for generations and bring rich, familiar flavor to any meal. Whether you enjoy the classic Bush's Secret Family recipe or add your own signature twist, Bush's Baked Beans are a savory sweet complement to Easter menus and spring brunches.
Baked beans are easy to use and fit naturally into a wide variety of meals.
Try breakfast egg and bean burritos or baked bean mac and cheese with bacon for a smoky sweet dish. Baked beans bring that little extra flavor I love to every bite and feel right at home on my spring menu.
For more spring meal ideas, visit bushbeans.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo. I love that music connects to people all over the country. But unfortunately, so does something else. Childhood hunger. 15 million kids struggle with hunger right here in America. And yet, every year, billions of pounds of surplus food in the U.S. go to waste instead of going to the children in need. Feeding America is working to change this. The Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks rescues this surplus of food to help provide meals to families in virtually every community in the United States, including yours. But they just can't do this alone. Join me in the fight against hunger in America. For more information on what you can do to get involved, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles, and access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show. Everybody, co-host Joe with you all today. And we are joined now live from CPAC, except this is airing 8 days after the fact, on the Saturday after Good Friday. I still don't know what day that is in the Christian calendar. But we are joined by John Spagnola. He is President and CEO of Veterans Strategic Solutions. John, appreciate you dropping by. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for the invitation.
Yep, glad to have you on.
Yep.
So your organization, you're pushing for this Passed the Written Informed Consent Act, which is H.R. 4837, Senate Bill 3314. What's it about?
Basically, the situation is that veteran suicides have gone on way too long in terms of the numbers. You know, a lot of people say about 20 a day. I just heard testimony in Washington, D.C., where the commander of the American Legion said 42 a day. And that's because of maybe overdoses aren't necessarily being counted as, you know, grounds for suicide, or, you know, driving into embankments and things of that nature. The problem is suicide rates haven't changed. And when I dug into the research of the Veteran Health Administrative Handbook, I learned that the operating basis for informed consent was verbal. In other words, veterans are supposed to know the side effects and the treatment options of what they're taking before they take high-risk medications. But, you know, 90% or more of the veterans I've spoken to and the veteran groups that I've spoken to tell me they don't know what the side effects are of the medications they're taking. And unfortunately, the first side effect for stimulants, antidepressants, antipsychotics, what they call anxiolytics, that include benzodiazepines and narcotics, is suicide. It's the first one. And if veterans are not aware that that's the first side effect, they might think they're broken and the problem's coming from them, and they might take drastic action. When in fact, if they were told and they really had the concept that, hey, this could be coming from the medication per the FDA, who put it on the label as the first side effect, they might take time to consider or consult, and it could save thousands of lives. So our bill makes it written informed consent, so that a veteran is assigned a form, he was told the side effects, and he was told he has treatment options, like, you know, chiropractic, hyperbaric treatment, canine therapy. There's so many different treatments. But if the veteran's not aware he has options like that, he'll think he must take the medications. In fact, it's the veteran's decision, not the doctor's. And most veterans who are come from the military, where doctors are officers and there's a yes, sir sort of attitude, veterans can say, I want nothing, or I want 100 drugs. I mean, they can say whatever they want. It's their decision, but they don't know that. And a written consent could make the difference in changing that.
Well, I can see that meeting a lot of obstacles. Pharmaceutical companies, they have a huge lobbying group. I mean, we saw that with and health insurance companies too. So you just know there's going to be a lot of pushback, because there's a lot of money in making sure someone gets on the pill. And it's not just veterans, it's anybody out there. I mean, you see pharmaceutical advertising in every commercial break. You know they got to pay top dollar for it, and they got to have top dollar, which means they're lobbying Congress too. Do you see that as being a really strong obstacle for these bills?
Yes, I do. I must admit that we have... The American Psychiatric Association is a big opponent. They typically, my experience has been, they've acted as a mouthpiece for Big Pharma. And they are, you know, adamant that, you know, veterans shouldn't have written informed consent. And, you know, to me, it's a no-brainer. Tim Sheehy, senator sponsoring the bill, is a Navy SEAL. He jumped right on the bill and said, oh, this is vital for veterans. And the House of Representatives, the sponsor is Gus Bilirakis. Jack Bergman's a co-sponsor. He's a three-star. He's the highest-ranking military person to become a congressman. Keith Self, who's at the conference, by the way, another, he's a ranger. He's jumped on as a co-sponsor. So, you know, there's a lot of pushback from when it comes to money and vested interest. I'm just interested in the veterans knowing the truth and making a decision in their best interest. And so we have the Written Informed Consent Act. As you pointed out, it's H.R. 4837 in the House, and it's S 33-14 in the Senate. And I'd appreciate it if your audience might be able to have an opportunity to let their congressmen and senators know, both, that this needs to be passed, and to ask their respective congressperson and two senators, they have one congressperson and two senators, to support and what we call co-sponsor the bill. That means they put their name on the bill. With that kind of pressure, we could get this done and we could save thousands of veteran lives. And I'm going to give an 800 number for your audience to be able to call to leave a message or talk to their congressmen and senators. It's 800-224-3121. Again, 800-224-3121. You just give them the zip code at that point. They'll send you to your right congressperson and your two senators. And you can also go to your website browser and put in your zip code, or you ask for who is my congressman, who is my senators. You can send emails as well. But if your audience would be so kind to do that, then we could save a lot of veteran lives.
Yeah, certainly people need to get involved in doing all this, because otherwise, whose ears are the congressmen and the senators going to hear? They're just going to hear the pharmaceutical giants. They're not going to hear from their own constituents. You know, the pharmaceutical giants might be the ones giving them all the money, but it's the constituents who give them the vote to put them into power. We're not yet at the point where corporations can just pay for an election.
Right, right. No, you're exactly right. You know, congressmen, unfortunately, in a position where they have to care more about votes and money than about anything else because they want to get reelected. There's a lot of good-hearted, caring congressmen and senators. But either way, they're under that kind of pressure. So if they hear from your constituents, I want your constituents to know that because you send an email or you make a call, that's not considered one email or one call. It's considered a percentage of the population. So that one call or one email could mean, in the eyes of a congressman or senator, that's hundreds of calls, or thousands even, depending on, you know, the numbers in that area. So it could have a big impact if we just have a few people calling into their offices. It will make a difference.
Well, we've got about a minute and a half left. So could you tell us a little about Veteran Strategic Solutions,
Perfect.
What you do?
Yeah, it's a veteran advocacy group. We're nonprofit, and we're about the health of veterans and advocating to try to do something substantial to stop the suicides. I'm working with 25 veteran groups, including the American Legion, VFW, DAV, Jewish War veterans, Vietnam veterans, Association of the Navy, Navy SEAL Foundation. We've got 25 groups supporting this bill, but we need the public help right now in getting their congressmen and senators to push on it. You can go to Veterans Strategic Solutions and you could see some of the interviews I've done and learn more about the legislation. And if you want to write me, you can at john.spagnola, S-P-A-G-N-O-L-A, 10, the number 10, at gmail.com. Be glad to respond and look forward to it.
All right. Well, John Spagnola, appreciate you being on the show. And listeners, we got more Silk or Joe Show coming up after this break, so stick with us.
This year is for sure the year of the road trip, with so many epic reasons to get out there and go and experience World Cup or America 250 or Route 66 100 year anniversary. This is where I think RV rentals come in. They are the best way to offer you the most amount of flexibility for traveling. You can get a lot closer to the action, to all of these fantastic events. I think this is where outdoorsy.com comes in so nicely, because on the website, you can easily search and find the size of RV, camper van, travel trailer you want that suits the size of your family. It's a whole new way to experience these events. Don't forget to book early for both the RV rental and then also the campground or the stay. Involve your family. It's a lot of fun to plan together. Where are you gonna go? What stops? What do you wanna see while you're out there? And I always love my 222 rule, which is don't drive more than 200 miles in a day. Arrive at your destination by 2 p.m. and stay out there for at least 2 days. holidays. Come and visit us at outdoorsy.com. You can explore all of the RV rentals that are available on the site.
March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, and it comes at a critical time as colorectal cancer is now the top cause of cancer deaths in people under 50. Dr. Paula DeNoia with the American College of Surgeons has more.
We're seeing an alarming rise in colorectal cancer among younger adults, but because of their age, warning signs like rectal bleeding or persistent bowel changes can often be overlooked or dismissed. These symptoms can appear months before a diagnosis, and regardless of your age, they should never be ignored. Everyone, even those without symptoms, should begin regular screening at age 45. If you have a family history of colorectal cancer or other risk factors, you may need to start even sooner. A colonoscopy doesn't just detect cancer, it can actually prevent it by finding and removing polyps before they ever become a problem. The American College of Surgeons has a new resource to help you know the signs and symptoms of colorectal cancer and when to talk to your doctor.
To learn more, visit facs.org/crc.
It's vacation season. If you're planning a tropical getaway to the Caribbean this spring or summer, the USDA has a message. Don't pack pork. African swine fever is a deadly virus that affects pigs. While ASF poses no harm to humans, travelers can unintentionally spread the virus by bringing cooked or uncooked pork products into the U.S. or from coming in close contact with infected pigs. USDA Epidemiology Officer Sarai Rivera-Garcia explains.
If ASF enters the United States, it could devastate the U.S. pig population, causing pork shortages, higher food prices, and billions in economic losses. As you travel into and between the U.S., Puerto Rico, or the U.S. Virgin Islands this spring and summer, please avoid interacting with pigs and shipping or packing any pork products to prevent the spread of ASF.
Learn more about African swine fever and your role in preventing its spread at www.aphis.usda.gov/stopasf.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silker Joe Show. We're here at CPAC, airing April 4th, but recorded March 27th. That's just how it is. You all might recall the 1 year where I recorded like three or four shows worth of this program at CPAC, and the rest of April was just us at CPAC. But anyway, we are joined now by Dr. Michael Gillen. He is a former Emmy Award-winning science editor for ABC News, with his best-selling book being Believing is Seeing, which was adapted into a documentary titled The Invisible Everywhere, which fortunately will still premiere April 8th, 4 days after this interview airs. But Dr. Gillen, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today?
Well, it's wonderful to be here with you, Joe. It's a little noisy, but I can hear you loud and clear. I'm looking forward to our discussion. Yeah, the movie's called The Invisible Everywhere, Believing is Seeing. Comes out April 8th worldwide. just go to theinvisibleeverywhere.com. Whoever you are, wherever you are, that's all you got to do. It's just theinvisibleeverywhere.com. Really excited about this movie.
So it's based on your book, Believing and Seeing. What's it all about?
Well, it basically just chronicles my journey from atheism to believing in God. You have to understand that when I was in the second grade, I was born in East L.A., when I was in the second grade, I fell in love with science, and I started living by the motto, believing is seeing. I mean, excuse me, seeing is believing. In other words, if I couldn't see it, I wouldn't believe it. And I also lived by the motto, prove it. If you couldn't prove it to me, I wouldn't believe it. So the whole idea of faith and all that sort of thing was all very vague to me. I didn't really take it seriously. So the whole idea of having faith in an invisible God was a double whammy for me. And so I lived that by those two mottos pretty much all my young life. But then when I got to grad school at Cornell, where I ended up earning my PhD in physics, math, and astronomy, guess what? I discovered I was wrong, dead wrong on both counts, because number one, I learned that 95, now listen to this, 95% of what we call the universe is invisible, Joe. Mm-hmm. So how could I live by the motto seeing is believing when I can't see 95% of what's out there?
Right.
And second of all, the whole idea of proving everything, it turns out that I learned that science is really not in the business of proving their theories. Science is in the business of trying to explain evidence. We collect evidence, and then we try to explain it. And as Einstein once said, no experiment can ever prove me right. One experiment can prove me wrong. So the whole idea of prove it this, prove that, prove God exists, prove this, it's nonsense. At the end of the day, all of us have to live by faith. I had faith in the scientific method, and it helped me to become a scientist. But I soon learned that when I asked really deep questions like, where in the world did the universe come from? Where in the world did we come from? That science offered me answers like, the inflationary Big Bang theory or modern evolutionary biology. But as an intellectual, I just found those offerings lacking. They just didn't ring true to me. They didn't really answer all my questions. And so I embarked on this spiritual journey that first took me to Hinduism, then Buddhism, and then Islam and transcendental meditation, Judaism, and the whole nine yards. And then one day, it was Valentine's Day, I was at Cornell, I got a Valentine's Day card. And it was from this beautiful sorority girl, completely unexpected. I'd never had a girlfriend. I was completely married to science. Science was my God. I worked 21 hours a day in my basement lab. And that relationship between me and that co-ed, I ended up marrying her, by the way. Her name is Laurel. One day she challenged me. She said, well, you know, you've studied all these other religions and you're on this quest for truth, you know, and quest for answers to your deep questions. I'm kind of the same way. And you've studied all these religions. You've immersed yourself in all these religions. Have you ever read the Bible? And it was like, no, for two reasons. Number one, I grew up hearing about the Bible this, the Bible that. It's kind of like I've been there, done that, even though I'd never read the Bible, really. And I said, and the second of all, my impression is that people who love the Bible hate science. Well, science is my number one love. Why would I want to read the Bible? And then she said something that changed my life forever. She said, you know what? I have not read the Bible either, but if you read it, I'll read it with you. And I wasn't as stupid as I looked. Even though I was a total nerd, I thought, well, I could spend more time with this pretty sorority girl. I don't really care about the Bible, but if I can spend more time with this pretty girl, I'll do it. So I was in, and it ended up taking us 2 years to read the Bible. And you know what? It was a game changer for me, especially the New Testament. The Old Testament, it was very logical, didn't really impress me very much. But boy, that New Testament and Jesus speaking the way he did, like the first shall be last, and you should love your enemy, and you need to die in order to live, that was the language of quantum mechanics. So it really attracted me. It was like, wow, Jesus is speaking in this translogical way, which is my name for things that are not logical, but that are profoundly true. In fact, the most profound truths of the universe are not logical. And here's Jesus speaking in a very illogical way. And so that was enough to hook me. It isn't like I fell on my knees and said, thank you, Jesus, that I'm a Christian. Because I'm a hard-headed intellectual. It took me many, many years. But later on, I compared all the religions to what I was learning in science and what we've learned about the universe. And I thought, you know what? Christianity best fits in with the science that I've learned. It fits in with the evidence we've learned about the universe. And so I'm now a Christian. I believe the Bible. I believe in Jesus. And this movie that I've made basically chronicles that journey from atheism to believing in God because of science. I was brought to my knees by science, the thing that I love the most in my life. You wouldn't expect that because most people think, well, wait a minute, scientist makes you into an atheist. Well, scientist made me into a believer. So that my movie is about that. But what I'm also proud of, Joe, is that I used AI technology. And I know there are people who are, you know, they don't like the old AI. They're AI haters, and there are dangerous things to AI. But you know what? It enabled me to make this movie that glorifies the Lord without Hollywood budgets, without Hollywood crews, without Hollywood overlords. It was just me at my desktop computer. It took me more than a year working 12 hours a day. It was one of the most grueling things I've ever done. But now we believe that I am the first person in history who has made a full-length motion picture using a publicly available AI tools on his desktop computer. Literally the first person in history to do that. And it's a movie that glorifies the Lord. So it's, for me, like, hello, yeah, that's fantastic. May, you know, to God alone be the glory. So I'm really excited. April 8th, it comes out, theinvisibleeverywhere.com.
That's incredible. Yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm hardly one to criticize AI. Yes, I have criticized AI.
Yeah.
The dangers it could be. But at the same time, the only reason our company has an app right now is because I used AI to help program it.
Well, there you go, Joe. And, you know, look, I get it. I've written about it, and I've given interviews about the dangers of AI. I get that. I understand. But, you know, I think back to Gutenberg when he invented movable type. He put the scribes out of work. Think about it. Before then, scribes would take years to copy the Bible. Well, Gutenberg was able to do it in a short amount of time. And there were church leaders, very devout Christians, who wouldn't even want to have anything to do with movable type. Even when he made the first Bible with movable type, they wouldn't even touch the Bible. They thought it was like the instrument of the devil. Well, that's nonsense. So this is kind of like that, that I'm using a technology that has both good and bad things to it, right? But I've made a movie that glorifies the Lord. So what's your beef? I mean, what? How can you have a problem with that? So even though we're very aware of the downsides, it's putting people out of work. I get it. Look, I made a movie before called Little Red Wagon. It's distributed by Lionsgate. It's on Amazon Prime right now, Apple TV, Stars TV, and all the rest of it. And I thought when I was going to do The Invisible Everywhere, I thought, okay, it's going to be rinse and repeat. I'm just going to do the same thing. It's going to cost me about $10 million. It's going to take me about, you know, 2-3 years to make from beginning to end. But then the Lord just spoke to me last year and said, no, don't do it the conventional way. Do it this way. Do it differently. Step out. Be an independent producer, and that's what I did. And I made this movie for less than $20,000, and there was no Hollywood overlord saying, you can't do that. It glorifies the Lord. So this, to me, is it should be an inspiration to anybody who has an idea that it's the power of one. It's very biblically based because we, each of us, you and I, are made in the image of God, and we are made in the image of a creative God. We are, by nature, creative beings, and I found that AI unleashed my creativity like nothing else had ever done before. So I'm hoping people will watch the movie April 8th, The Invisible Everywhere, Believing is Seen, tells my journey from atheism to believing in God, how science pointed me towards God, not away. And it can be seen by anyone, anywhere in the world on April 8th, theinvisibleeverywhere.com. And I love that because you don't have to worry, well, what theater, Dr. G? Where do I have to go? What time? No. Wherever you are, whoever you are. And I have people following me from all over the world, Thailand, Australia, South Africa. And they're all wondering, well, where can I see this movie? You can see this movie at home. April 8th, just go to theinvisibleeverywhere.com. Boom, there's a box office. Mm-hmm. You can either rent it, you can buy it. There's another option where you can get extra goodies. And then there's also if you want to host a screening for your church or for your civics groups or whatever, I offer that as an option as well. So I'm really pleased that this is really the power of one individual, little old me, making this movie on my desktop here in North Texas and then distributing it worldwide without any help from Hollywood. Can you imagine Hollywood greenlighting a movie like this that glorifies the Lord? It wouldn't happen in a million years, Joe.
All right. Well, Dr. Gilling, appreciate you being on the show. We are out of time, but actually we have 10 seconds left. Where can I just get a copy of the book that is all this is coming from?
Believing is Seen is on Amazon. It's still a bestseller, but theinvisibleeverywhere.com, come April 8th, you can buy and watch the movie.
All right, listeners, you can go check that out. It's only 4 days from now, but we got more Silk or Joe Show coming up much quicker after this break.
As NVIDIA GTC kicks off this week, SSD company Solidigm is thinking about where your data is stored and how quickly it can be accessed for AI applications. Greg Mattson, head of products and marketing.
If you're not thinking about storage, you're not taking AI seriously. As AI adoption surges, our data center partners are running into a real constraint: storage. High-capacity SSDs deliver improvements in performance, power efficiency, and density.
AI data centers have been investing heavily in high-capacity storage drives, and enterprise storage leaders are innovating with faster high-capacity drives that support more efficient AI architectures at scale.
As the leading AI companies place more emphasis on storage infrastructure, we'll see the data needs of AI continue to drive the industry to all-flash solutions. It's not just a storage upgrade, it's a fundamental realignment of data infrastructure strategy.
Learn more at solidigm.com.
Hi there, I'm Morgan Freeman. March is Amyloidosis Awareness Month, a time to shine a light on a heart condition that is underdiagnosed. ATTR cardiac amyloidosis, or ATTR-CM. The symptoms of ATTR-CM, like shortness of breath, swollen feet or legs, and carpal tunnel syndrome, can look like a lot of other things. So ATTR-CM can hide in plain sight. Experiencing a different heart condition of my own has taught me the importance of listening to what's happening beneath the surface. Now I'm using my voice to inspire others, like my friend Larry is.
I knew something was off when simple activities left me more winded than they should have. Playing golf, hiking alongside my wife, and keeping up with my grandchildren started to feel more challenging. I spoke to my doctor about my symptoms and started treatment with Attruby, also known as acoramidis. I'm sharing my story so others know they're not in this alone.
Attruby is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with ATTR-CM to reduce death and hospitalization related to heart problems. Tell your doctor if you're pregnant, plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding, and about the medications you take. The most common side effects were mild and included diarrhea and abdominal pain. If you have symptoms that don't add up, ask your doctor about ATTR-CM and if Attruby may be right for you. To learn more, visit attruby.com/radio. That's attruby.com/radio. Brought to you by Bridge Bike.
During the St. Patrick's Day festivities, Monster Energy returned to Chicago for the annual River Dine, and they brought two guests. Pro jet ski riders Tori Snyder and Coy Curtis ripped along the newly glowing green waters in a stunt show, a first in the half-century-old tradition. Following the River stunt show, the celebration continued at the city's annual St. Patrick's Day Parade, where Monster Energy's Java Monster team brought festive energy along the parade route while distributing chilled cans of Java Monster Irish Cream to parade goers. For more information, go to monsterenergy.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, It's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show. Everybody, co-host Joe with you. Final day here at CPAC for the program. Always a blast to be here with you all. And we are just wrapping up right now. And I thought I had a guest scheduled, but I guess I dropped the ball on that one. And we'll guess later on for the Al Nathan Show just walked by. But anyway, yeah, a lot going on, although not much in the way of any current events per se that I can talk about, because after all, it's April the 4th right now, as you all are listening. But I'm way back here on March 27th. Oh, no. But it's been an interesting event here. Normally for a segment like this, I'd have an intern around. Hired help, William Hellman, but couldn't pay to have him flown out to Dallas. And so that didn't happen. But anyway, it's just me with my voice here. And, breaking news for me was the DHS funding being agreed to. For all I know, something gunked up that works, or Trump vetoed it or something like that. But it does add to the feeling of betrayal for John Thune at this point in time. Maybe I'm just recording this for posterity. Maybe John Thune will come out. Turns out he's not a rhino after all. He's full-blown MAGA and undid whatever the heck it is that he had done, his betrayals. So right now, though, I've turned him, probably said on the Al Nathan Show by now, I've turned him into the AOC of rhinos. That is the figurehead and poster boy. Yeah, anytime someone points out craziness from the radical left, they always use AOC as the example. Here's because she's a very prominent person, very prominent in Congress, very strong voice. So just any grievances you have with the radical left, she's sort of the embodiment of it. And John Thune has become that for the rhinos, the Senate Majority Leader from South Dakota, allegedly a Republican. So as of this recording, what he had done is right in the middle of the night, as CPAC was going on, mind you, right in the middle of the night, this agreement was announced. They decided to give the Democrats pretty much everything they wanted, get nothing in return, as Republicans always seem to have done after shutdowns. And that's it. But me, Chuck Schumer, he first sent a minority leader Democrat. He came out and said, oh, this is a victory. Even though they didn't quite get everything they want, they wanted reforms with ICE that didn't happen. But otherwise, they claimed they got everything they wanted by funding not coming to ICE. And ICE is apparently paid out because of the Big Beautiful Bill. It's paid out through next year, right? But still, that hasn't, I think my, I just got a text message, so my studio connection probably just conked out for a half second there. But anyway, still with John Thune, he just seemed to have caved in very easily. And you have to wonder why, and what prompted this cave in, shutdown seemed scheduled to continue for a while. Was it all these people complaining about long lines with TSA? Well, Trump was about to solve that. He was about to do some executive actions that would divert funding to the TSA somehow. Probably a Biden judge or Obama judge would have challenged it in court. But John Thune managed to block it off entirely by just caving into the Democrats. Not going to let Trump get the win. Not going to let Trump do something that would allow the shutdown to continue without damaging Republican chances in the midterms, something that would put the Democrats on their back feet, get the Democrats backing away. No, we're not going to let Trump do that. We're going to make sure Democrats have their victory. That's what Thune had done. And really, it's in line with everything else he's been doing. And there's talk now, oh, we'll get ICE funding. We'll get more of it through reconciliation. And then there's this, we don't even really need to worry about it anyway because they're funded up through next year or whatever. Well, by then, because of John Thune's move, who's going to be in charge? The Democrats. Because after what Thune did, unless they can get that SAVE Act passed, unless they can do anything, there aren't going to be Republicans voting for Republican senators. They're going to be lucky if they even get the House. That's what's going to happen. That's my solid prediction, because Thune has done everything to kill enthusiasm for Republicans this year. He's doing his damnedest to make sure they only a minority are elected. Thune doesn't have to worry about this. Not at all. He is safe. His election is in 2028, okay? Presidential year. He's going to be piggybacking off of the president then. And he's in South Dakota. He knows he's going to be safe. He's going to hope that his voters forgive him. He's going to hope that there's no primary. In fact, he might be blocking the SAVE Act because he has the state on lockdown due to illegitimate votes. And he knows that if that happens, game over, he's going to lose. So not that I'm casting aspersions. I'm going to have to say allegedly after all that to avoid any legal action, because I'm sure someone like Thune will be first to hop to the lawyers before denials. But anyway, so that is my prediction, though, that because of Thune's actions and the rhinos like him, this is not going to work. The midterms are going to go to the Democrats, and that's what Thune seems to want. And I wouldn't surprise me, because what's the thing? One thing Democrats are pretty much running on this year, not the economy, but going after Trump. That's what they're promising. If we get elected, we're going after Trump big time and everyone associated with him. That's what we're going to do when we get elected. That's our promise to you. That's what the Democrats have said. And John Thune, Republican in name only that he is, he's all over that. The Trump wing of the party has been a thorn in the sides of his wing of the party. The reason Mitch McConnell is not Senate Majority Leader is because of the MAGA wing of the party. And John Thune is part and parcel of the Mitch McConnell wing of the party. Putting him in place is just as bad as having Mitch McConnell there. And Thune made that clear on day one when he was talking about how he's not going to do anything with the filibuster. He's going to do everything legitimate, whatever. He's going to do by the book, old school, 20 years ago, Republican style that hasn't worked, that Democrats threw out long ago. For the sake of civility, for the hope that Democrats will be kind to him, even though Democrats proved when they had the majority back in 2021 and 2022, they didn't give a damn about normalcy, normality, or the rules. They were going to ram through whatever the heck they pleased, and they did. And the reason they failed is because enough Democrats sometimes defected, like Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, to derail some legislation that Democrats wanted. And they had such a slim lead that just one or two Democrat senators defecting was enough. I mean, the only thing surprising back then is that not enough Republicans defected to Democrats to make sure stuff happened. Lisa Murkowski, though, she's one. She comes out and says, oh, about the SAVE Act, oh, I'm not going to vote for that. I don't vote for election stuff. But then what happens back in 2021? She votes with Democrats for their whatever election reforms they were doing that year. And that wing of the party, they don't want the Trump supporters out there. They're the wing of the party. Their profit is in keeping power but not doing anything, keeping power, not getting anything done, herding supporters away from candidates who actually would work to candidates like them, soaking up the money for themselves and their friends. That's what the Thune wing of the party is. And that's what we saw. We saw what that results that that wing of the party would deliver. To protect his own interests, he's willing to derail the SAVE Act. He's willing to give the Democrats everything he wants. He's willing to lose the majority this year. Doesn't care because he thinks his job is secure. South Dakota voters, up to you in 2028. But he knows that, and he's hoping you all forget. Anyway, that's it for the Silker Joe Show. Appreciate you all tuning into this program. And, of course, again, this was pre-recorded on March the 27th, but you all have a happy Easter. Those of you who celebrate and deserve it anyway, I guess Passover for the rest of you, or whatever atheists do at this time of year. Anyway, I guess if you're not doing anything in particular, you can go to MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. That's a great website. Find out more about the Silver Joe Show up there. Check out the Alan Nathan Show, too. Check out our app. We're on social media as well. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-978-0600 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.